So the question was asked, why do we pray? And that question was focused on the idea of Maimonides' discernment when it comes to Hashkacha Pratit, when it comes to Hashem's actual involvement in the world on behalf of individuals. So if we go with the understanding that Hashem's involvement depends on a person's level, the higher he is, the more acute will be Hashem's revelation of his involvement. So then why does the layman pray? So I would like to add to this a number of points. The Talmud asks, why do we pray? Judgment is decided on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so why do you pray the rest of the year? Fair question, right? Kiman Matzlinan Haidana Aksire Umerie. What does the Talmud answer? The Talmud says, Yefetzaka Ben Lifnei Gzaldin Ben Lachar Gzaldin. A person can plead his case before or after the decision up above. So we have a concept in the Torah that when there's a dangerous situation, when there's a pressing situation, we have a biblical mitzvah to pray. Maimonides agrees to that. So one would say, okay, but what's Hashem going to do? So when Maimonides says that the level of hashkacha and interference is dependent on a person's level, Maimonides is talking about high levels of interference. Avraham Avinu going to war against four kings. That's unnatural that he would win. Avraham Avinu falls into a furnace and he walks out unscathed. That's not normal. So Maimonides says, what about someone else? You know, 6 million Jews? They're being sent to the gas chambers. How come none of them walked out alive, right? So Maimonides says, that level of interference, changing nature, doing something that's completely unnatural, so you have to be an exceptional person like Avraham Avinu was, in order to merit that kind of interference. The general rule is that a person as pious as he's going to be, and this is where we said, even Rabbi Eliashiv, even the giants of our generation, are not on that level where if they'd be thrown into the furnace, I'd have any expectations they'd walk out alive. I don't. We're not on that level. Neither were the rabbis of 200 years ago either. That doesn't mean that our prayer has no impact, but there's prayer having impact on one level, working within a system, and then there's prayer and having an impact on a on an unnatural system and having a miracle, having Hashem interfere on a person's behalf. That, okay, there were a few exceptions in history, but the general theme is that there's a course of nature and Hashem doesn't change it. You have a Daniel who falls into the lion's den, who's thrown into the lion's den, and he walks out alive. But the average person does not. Yaakov Avinu has no issue when he hears that Yosef was torn to pieces. His son Yosef, his treasured son, the continuation of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the only one with whom he shared the secrets of his tradition. He finds his clothes ripped to shreds with blood on them, and he has no problem believing that his son was devoured by wild animals. Why? Daniel isn't devoured by wild animals, but Yosef could be. And then we know that Hashem did intervene on Yosef's behalf. Even beyond the laws of nature, he falls into a pit with scorpions and snakes and he walks out unscathed. But Yaakov has no expectations that that's what should have happened. He has no problem living with the fact that that's not what happened. So, do we pray? Yes. Do we expect that it's possible that as a result of our prayer things will change? Yes. Do we say, I'm on the level that when I pray it should happen? No. The Talmud says it's a rarity. It says Yoshua bin Nun was on that level. Moshe Rabbeinu was on that level. There are a limited number of people who can say when they pray they are confident that they're going to get what they want. And they are the exception. And there are many generations that don't have such a person. So you have big Talmidei Chacham, you have leaders, but they're not on that level. The Talmud says there were very, very few exceptions. Okay, so there were exceptions. That doesn't mean our prayer doesn't have an impact. just means that we're not on the level where we can be confident what the result of our prayer is going to be, and we're not on a level where we can expect that if we're not deserving that something should happen, then Hashem will ensure it doesn't happen, even in unnatural ways. Fair enough? So far, you with me, Yaakov?
Kind of. I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned that value issue. If he wasn't on the level where he could be confident where his prayers would be answered, then you go to people at my level, I'll speak from at my level, and there is a gap between me and that value issue that you can't even measure. What hope does someone in my position have of praying for healing, for anything?
Wait, there's a difference between the capacity to be answered and the confidence that one will be answered. Those are two different things. The Talmud says every person's responsibility to pray is with the understanding that his prayers may not achieve what he wants. And a person is not supposed to pray with confidence, I prayed, so I'm going to get it. No, that the Talmud says is a mistake. Interesting. Pray. But don't pray with confidence, because I pray with intent and with fervor, it's going to happen. Do not, says the Talmud, pray that way. Wow, what a line. Think about that philosophically. Pray with intent. Your prayer can accomplish, but do not pray with the assumption, because I prayed, it's going to happen. That's a directive in Talmud, in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch and the Codex as well. Maimonides, everyone rules that way. Isn't that interesting philosophically? So what am I praying for? Well, you have a duty to pray. The Torah says, you have an issue, pray. Part of prayer is, I recognize you run the world. If you run the world, then you're the one I'm going to turn to. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to turn to you. Now, does that mean that you're going to grant it to me just because I turn to you? No. You have a Yoshua bin Nun. When he falls on the ground, he knows what he asked for is going to happen. He asked for the sun to stop, it's going to stop. Okay, let's say, you know, you have maybe 10 people in all of world history who had that. So the fact that Rav Eliashiv wasn't there, so what? I don't know if he was or wasn't there. I just assume he wasn't. I assume, if you know, most of the rabbis of world history were not, so I assume he's there too. I don't know. But I'm just saying that doesn't mean that his prayer won't accomplish. It just means he can't assume it will. I didn't hear.
Everything must be done in Begidui. We don't know the forces they have. We don't know the power.
I said, could be, maybe. Yeah, Yaakov, you with me? So we all pray, and we have a responsibility to pray, and we're taught time and again that sometimes there's specific people whose prayers make the difference for all of Klal Yisrael. Boaz prays, and because of his prayer, the famine stops. So all of Israel is praying that the famine should stop, but their prayers didn't merit it. In the days of Rebbe, the great Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, so the Talmud tells us that one day he was giving shir and Elio showed up late. So he says to Elio, what are you doing late for? So Elio says, well, it's Rosh Chodesh. I had to go to the patriarchs. And I wake up Avram and I wash his hands, and then he davens and I put him back to bed, and then I wake up Yitzhak and I wash his hands and he davens, and then I put him back to bed, and then I wake up Yaakov and I wash his hands and he davens, and then I put him back to bed. So that takes time, so I came late to shir. So Rebbe says, excuse me, Elio, why don't you just wake them all up at once, wash all their hands, let them all daven together, put them back to bed together, and then come here on time. Excuse me, what kind of excuse is that, right? So Elio says, well, if Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were to get up together and daven, then the Mashiach would come right away. No, says Rebbe. So Elio says, Hashem obviously doesn't want that now. So Rebbe asks him, is there anyone around today who has that power with their prayer? So Elio says, yeah, Rabbi Chia and his children. Interesting, Rabbi Chia couldn't talk correctly. He had difficulty pronouncing certain words. Rabbi Chia. He couldn't pronounce certain things, right? But his prayer, not Rabbi. Rabbi Chia was an educator. Rabbi was the chief rabbi of Israel. Elio doesn't say Rabbi. He says Rabbi Chia and his children. If they get up and pray, then Hashem says that prayer is going to break the heavens. You'd think the great Rebbe, right? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who has more merits than him? He's feeding the poor. He's teaching all of Israel. Till today, we're living off of his teachings. No. When it came to prayer, Rabbi Chiya had more power than him and his children. So, first of all, we don't know who has
earlier,
what impact in prayer.
Elimelech.
With Boaz, so right?
It's going to be much lower in many ways than someone else, and that prayer can go through.
So Rebbe says, fine, thanks for the tip. The next day he appoints Rebbe Chiya and his children to stand and daven before the crowd. And they get up there and they daven. And they say, Mashiv Ruach, and winds start blowing. Morid HaGeshem, starts pouring rain. They're about to reach Mechayim Esim. No, that's what Elio told them. If they're going to say Mechayim Esim, then the dead will come back. And God tells Elio, troublemaker, who told you to give away my secrets? Go down there and rectify the things you've done. So Elio shows up like a bear and he starts running through Shul and everyone runs away. The crowd scatters. And then obviously they didn't finish the Shemona Esrei. They didn't get the Mechayim Mason the way they wanted. But what do we see? We see that we don't know whose prayers are going to carry what weight. We see that it's not necessarily the top person in the generation. Rabbi Chiya was an educator. He taught children. He was going around teaching children, not even adults, children. And we see that, sometimes different people can have impact in their prayer. I don't know. Yeah.
So is it safe to say that there's no one in the past 2, 3, 4 generations could even approach Rabbi Chiya's level?
It's for sure that we don't have anyone for the last millennium who was on Rabbi Chiya's level. For almost 2 millennia, we don't have anyone on Rabbi Chiya's level when it comes to Torah. But when it comes to davening, we don't know. But it doesn't really matter. Our responsibility is to pray. And we are taught, and this is the way it is ruled, halacha lemaaseh, that a person's prayer can have an impact. What impact does it have? We don't know. We say in the prayer of Yom Kippur that Hashem gathers our prayers, so to speak. Sometimes you didn't get it the first time, you get it the second time, not the second time, maybe the 10th time. Notice Moshe Rabbeinu davens over 500 times when he wants to enter Israel. No, don't you get the hint? God said no. 500 times God says no. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't give up, he keeps trying. So prayer is about my recognition that Hashem is running the show and I'm going to talk to him. Some people get what they want. Some people don't get what they want. But all people have a responsibility to talk to him. And either we will or we won't. But when we recognize he runs the show and he sometimes says, you know, I only made that problem so that you talk to me. Right? Like the story of the king and the princess. You know the story, right? Now the princess is out in the forest and the bandits come and she yells, save me. And the king comes and saves her. And then he wants to talk to her and she won't have anything to do with him. So he hires bandits to come and attack her again. And again, he'll come and save her. And suddenly, she's ready to talk to him. So we're the same way. We let our relationship with God wither and until we have problems in our lives. And then suddenly we turn to him and say, God, help me out here. What's going on? Right? Suddenly he's a part of our lives. So sometimes the whole reason we have an issue is so that we will talk to him. But that's our job. That doesn't mean it's... We don't have a guarantee it'll work. Quite the contrary. We have a directive from the Talmud. Don't assume it's going to work. Your job is to talk to him. Whether it'll work or not, maybe yes, maybe no. Some impact it has. That doesn't mean you'll get what you asked for.
Do we have the capacity to change Hashem's mind decision, or do we change ourselves and are therefore affected at a different level? In other words, if we go up, then... My understanding was that at the moment of creation, all possibilities were created. And that when we are on a certain level, X, Y, Z happens to Yaakov. When Yaakov goes down, A, B, C. When he goes up, different things happen. So we're not really changing God's mind as to what's going to happen, but we're changing ourselves through prayer.
So that is the understanding of Rav Yosef Elbo in the Sefer HaIkarim. And the Kabbalists say that no, Hashem created the world in a way in which man can have an impact up above, and man's job is to have an impact up above. One of the ways he does that is through his prayer. So both understandings exist within Jewish thought.
You're saying that if what was good for you